This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry.
And I'm Adora Udoji.
So we go now to Beijing, where the Olympics are about 10 days away, and the International Olympic Committee has overturned a decision banning Iraq from this year's Olympics. The move came yesterday after last-minute talks in Switzerland, during which Iraq promised to hold free elections for its National Olympic Committee under international observation. We're joined on the line from Beijing by our content editorial partner, BBC Sports News correspondent Gordon Farker. Thanks for being with us.
That's a pleasure.
Gordon, how's the air there in Beijing today?
Well, it's not too bad today. The day I arrived on Monday was absolutely terrible. But then, you know, as everybody knows, it's here. When the wind blows in the right direction, the sky's clear, it can look pretty sunny and everything looks rosy. But I think it will entirely depend on which way the wind blows if they're going to get lucky for the opening ceremony.
Well, the wind is blowing towards Iraq, or at least favorably on Iraq, on this latest decision. What was the issue? Independence for the National Olympic Committee? That's a requirement?
Yeah, I mean, it all got really rather messy. I mean, the unfortunate thing, of course, is that it took some real last-minute diplomacy for this to happen, which meant that some Iraqi athletes have now missed out on a chance to compete here because, you know, the diplomacy was so tight that the deadline for registering most athletes actually expired, which has left only two athletes able to take part, and that is a bit of a pity, really. But
so let's go through the list. Out of luck are archery, judo, rowing, and weightlifting, but apparently a discus thrower and a sprinter will be at the Games.
That's right. Haider Nazir, a discus thrower, and Danmar Hussein, a sprinter. They are the two that are coming. And also, of course, because the status is now reconferred on the team, there'll be some observers from the National Olympic Committee as well, or what passes for the National Olympic Committee in Iraq at the moment. So there'll be basically seven people there. So at least they can carry a flag and look like a team when they get into the stadium. Yeah.
I mean, we sort of laugh about the bureaucracy of the Olympics, and, you know, we could talk endlessly about that in this segment, but really it is important nationally for the people of Iraq to have a presence at the Olympics, right?
Oh, I think so, and I think the IOC have said that all along. The problem is that for the IOC, you know, their rules and regulations say that there shouldn't be any interference in the running of the National Olympic Committee, and of course, the Iraqi government rather heavily interfered by sacking the entire lot of them back in May. Now, they had reasons for doing that. They say good reasons. They say they had hard evidence of corruption, of blatant corruption, lack of legitimate, transparent electoral processes and accountability, to be precise. I mean, that was what they believed was going on there, but the IOC's argument is, well, look, the National Olympic Committees are elected effectively by the national sports federations. It's nothing to do with government. It's not a government appointee job, this. It's sport that chooses these people. It's the sports people that we recognise. Now, clearly, what needed to happen to resolve this was for some free elections to take place, which the IOC was prepared to recognise in order for the National Olympic Committee to be re-established. Now, those haven't happened yet. There is a promise now from the Iraqi government that they will be held, and that will be monitored by the Olympic
right.
Council of Asia. So at least they've taken the steps in the direction the IOC wanted to see.
Well, and if you go back to the Cold War in Eastern Europe, this notion of independence is a bit of a term of art. Quickly before we go, any chance the discus thrower and the sprinter can make it into the medal rounds?
I think it's highly unlikely. I mean, their greatest achievement is making it, you know, into the opening ceremony to march behind the flag in the first place.
All right, Gordon Farker, BBC Sports News correspondent, who says the air in Beijing is not bad today. Thanks for joining us. Gordon Farker of the BBC. Air's decent today.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science. Neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.